I come leaning on that same God that David leaned on this morning. We have a wonderful Heavenly Father. I'm grateful we can see Him like that. I would like to look over, if we can turn in our Bibles, over into the book of Luke, 9th chapter. Again, I would remind us, as I've done a few times in the past, that what we are doing here is walking in the way. The early Christians were known as people of the way. And that's kind of the first identity and the first understanding that there was a different way. There was something that was introduced by Jesus Christ that was different than the old law system, adherence to the old law. There was something fulfilling in Him that He fulfilled the old law and He brought a new and better way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And so He presents Himself to people like that. And today, we are still walkers of the way. We're traveling down the road of life. We're traveling down the road of holiness and righteousness unto God. We're in that way. And if you're not in that way this morning, I encourage you to get in that way. And I thank the Lord this morning that Jesus is that way. And He did say this too. We enter in. He said, I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in. So we can come. He shall go out and do what? He shall find pasture. There is we go in through Jesus Christ. We enter in by the blood through Jesus Christ into this door, into this place of walking with the Lord. It's a precious way that the Lord has invited us to come and walk along beside Him. Because He's a good shepherd. And He goes before His sheep. And we walk today in a joyful way. We walk today in a way that is liberating to the soul. He's a Prince of Peace. That's His effect in our lives. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the God of heaven who cares for you and I. And who was made flesh, that word that was made flesh and dwelled among us, has lived before us and shown us the way of life that you and I might walk in it. And so this day, as we consider that, as we look at ourselves, and so many times we measure ourselves by the example that was set before us, and that's Jesus Christ. And I know, I'm aware that there's different ideas of teachings in the world today, and some might well say that is willing to lean. There's the word I'm trying to find. Simple word, isn't it? Leans heavily on grace. Which grace is wonderful and it is fantastic. It's unmerited. It's something that He has given this gift to you, to humanity. And then to feel like that maybe if grace is something that just simply accepts any way of walking after that, I want to tell you, God doesn't say it that way. He calls us to a way of holiness, a way of righteousness, a way of walking. And are we always going to do that exactly perfectly every day? I don't think we're always going to do that perfectly in our humanity. God allows for humanity, but He asks us that we might be perfected in Him. Still walking in that way of holiness. Not rebellion, not turning around and going backward, but we're walking in the way. Repentance is another term that we hear every once in a while. And repentance is one that's in the Scripture. John went preaching repentance, didn't he? That's what he said. Turn. Now, what that means is turning from the old. Leaving that other path. Turning around. Walking in newness of life. And that's what God wants us yet to do today. And rise with our spirits in hope of the gospel. Lay claim to what Jesus said, that we can walk with Him in newness of life. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That is, if any man's in Christ, you all know the scripture. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So I'm very grateful for that this morning. You're going to have to start getting used to me having these things on more often. Because if you recognize when I go trying to read, I can't read so well anymore without glasses. So that's what's going to happen. We want to look over here into Luke, the 9th chapter. As we approach this book of Luke and this chapter, I would remind us again that this book, this letter, was written, is a personal letter Luke wrote. It's called one of the Gospels now, but when he first wrote it, it was a personal letter. To who? Do y'all know who he wrote it to? Theophilus. And he wrote, evidently, it just appears like, when you look at the text, it appears like Theophilus may have been one, perhaps in a certain amount of authority. And, oh, noble Theophilus, that was, or excellent Theophilus, I forget how it was written there. But he was one likely had a certain authority, but he had heard the gospel, and he believed. And he's a walker of the way. He's one of those that is following the Lord. And as he's walking that direction, Luke knew him evidently well. And Luke perhaps had an influence. I don't know. Perhaps Luke had an influence in converting him into Christianity and being a Christian. Luke may well have had a part. I don't really know all that history. But I do know that Luke wrote him a letter because he named it. Read over there in the first chapter of Luke. You'll see it. He wrote it to Theophilus and was interested that he might know. Let me actually have some of here on my phone that I clipped out. May as well. Time's getting away. I'm going to read some of this. Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. This is what Luke is writing to Theophilus. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. I want you, Theophilus, to know and understand. Here's why we do what we do. He sat down, Brother Luke, I could see him having such a love for this brother, interested that he might be established and understand and have reason to act, to walk in the way of righteousness before the Lord, to act in this way, even given perhaps the office that he was holding. Oh, Brother Theophilus, I want you to know this is the way, and I want you to know well. And so I'm going to sit down, and he wrote a fairly lengthy letter with many examples that was passed down to him. And Luke 9 is part of that. So we want to read now in the 9th chapter of Luke, starting here with the first verse. Speaking now of Jesus, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Wonder what Theophilus, how did he see that, those words? Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. You know, I like asking myself the question. I think it's honest to be able to examine myself and ask myself, do I look like that first church? Do I teach what that first church teaches? Do I understand the gospel like they understood it? Are there practices or teachings or things that we feel comfortable that has been part of us? Is it the same? Isn't it right to ask ourselves that question? We give allowance and recognize that culture sometimes changes and affects how that is applied in this culture. But it better be in the Scripture. It better be based. We need to be honest to the text. And this verse, I don't know how to fit it all completely, but I believe in this day that we live in now, we have seen healings, haven't we? We have. And I've been examining recently some of the actions and how the first church, I'm talking about the first church, I'm talking about the Bible, what we examine in the Scripture, how that first church that was born exploded on the day of Pentecost. It just 5,000 or 3,000 souls were saved on that day, added to the church. What a wonderful time. And then they went forth and acted out what they knew and followed the Lord. And the Lord took them in their raw material and imparted His Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, as you walk from here, Jesus said, I go away and I send to you the Comforter. And one other place said, that Spirit of truth will come, He will lead and guide you into all truth. Folks, we need that guidance because we're imperfect in our understanding. We are. Even when sometimes we read a verse, it seems so plain to us, we can apply our understanding to it, and sometimes later on the Lord might come and say, here's a little fuller understanding of that. We need to receive when that He, the Spirit of truth, is come and He will lead and guide us into all truth. That's what I want. It should be coupled, not only that understanding, Him giving us the Spirit of truth, but that Spirit of truth should be coupled with something else that Jesus said on the mount when He began to teach the people. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? He said, blessed are those that do what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's where the blessing is. Coupled with the supply that come down from heaven itself, that Spirit of truth that leads and guides. When He finds a hungry heart, I want to tell you, He comes and leads and feeds that hungry heart. Such a blessing. You and I have that yet today. There wasn't an expiration on that. That's still in vogue. You and I have the great blessing of bringing my hungry heart to the Lord and say, Lord, lead me in the path of everlasting life. I need You today. I need understanding. I need wisdom. I need You and the essence that You bring to my life. I want my life to be in tune with You. I want to build my future. I want to get married in godliness and righteousness. I want to build into my home the building blocks that won't crumble when pressure comes along. I want to build upon a solid rock. I want godliness here. I want to tell you, it's in that framework the Lord will bless you. Will I tell you that every marriage will be perfect? I will tell you no, but you can grow in grace. There's not a law saying you can't stay together and blend your home and enjoy, or blend your home with godliness and enjoy walking with the Lord and find His blessings on you. Oh, folks, this is the way to do it. Hunger and thirst after the Lord and allow Him to lead us. That first church was like that. Did everybody in that, did all people that surrounded it do it right all the time? Clearly not. There's penalties. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? They were connected there too, weren't they? What began to happen to Ananias and Sapphira? You remember what happened? You know how they had come, seemed like they had all things common, and people they were just a family, and they broke bread together daily, it seemed like. They just had their common meal together, and they enjoyed it. They were together as a family, and it seemed like it was so attractive to people. Something was really going on over there after the day of Pentecost. It was a wonderful thing going on, and people sold and said, this is just, we're all getting together here. Ananias and Sapphira wanted to also get some of that acclaim, or I don't know what they really wanted, but carnality had gotten in there. somewhere. It wasn't wrong for them to keep back some of the money that of the property, their possessions that they sold, and they gathered it together, and they was going to come and lay it at the apostles' feet, just like others had done, and for the general good of the whole body of Christ. They were willing to do so. But they came with a false pretense. They said that this is it. Why didn't they just say, the Lord has laid it on our heart to give you this amount? Yes, we kept some of it. We felt like the Lord would have us. But here's what the Lord has laid on our heart. The Lord would have blessed that with that humility of heart. We want to offer unto the Lord. But instead, there must have been some carnal desire to have position or a claim in people's eyes. The Lord didn't tolerate that then, and He doesn't want to tolerate that today. And we find even in this chapter that we're reading, whether we'll get down to it or not, I don't know. But do you remember when He talked about, when He set a child in the midst? And He said, this is what you're supposed to be like. We're not supposed to. We are humble followers of God in the way of righteousness, in the way that He set before us. So this first church, am I willing to say that every sickness that they encountered, He gave them power, authority over devils and to cure diseases? Am I willing to say that every disease they encountered was always healed? I would have to say no, because they all died eventually. So we fit this in the proper way there. But we do have authority. We have power that came down from heaven that we can confront, as the early church did too. We can confront and we can approach disease, and I don't know how, you know, we pray and I believe the Lord has asked us to anoint and pray. I embrace that. Let me say it that way. I embrace that also. But there were sometimes they confronted what was before them and they spoke to it and said, be gone. Let me give you an example. Was it Peter and John who went by the temple and saw the man laying at the gate? Beautiful. Remember that? What did they do? Let's pray over this man. Let's put our hand. Is that what they did? I submit to you the scriptural evidence as that the man with expectation, Peter said, look on us. And he did. Hope rose in the man's heart. His idea of what was about to happen, I'm going to get some money. Then he said, silver and gold have I none. And likely his countenance may have fallen a little bit, but he didn't stop with silver and gold have I none. He said, but such as I have. And Peter knew he had something from the God of heaven. He had authority. He had power over this thing. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of this God of heaven who has given us His word and brought down to us this that I have that's burning in my soul, I reach out and tell you, stand up and walk. I want to be like the early church. Don't you? If I lack something, I want to seek until I find. And then I'm going to tell you that God is going to give us always inspiration to heal everybody around us, but I think God would have more of it. And never for the purpose of making somebody special, but always for the purpose of reaching a need in a soul. Always for the purpose of expanding the kingdom of God. Many times we find, and expand on that just a little, many times we find people that have claimed to have the gift of healing, and it seemed like if they had it at one time, it seemed like it was something that elevated their spirit to a place of pride. And such a trap. the devil. So I believe that many times the gifts of God are given to the humble in spirit. He doesn't want there to be a lifting up of ourselves that would call attention to man. Folks, it should always be pointing to my Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Luke told Brother Theophilus, he said that called his 12 together and he gave them power and authority over devils. Thank God that he gives us authority over devils. Wherever we meet him in our personal lives, we also have that same authority to somebody else that might be bound by the devil. We have utter authority. It is always God's will that they be free. It's always God's will. So when a soul would come to us, maybe bound by the forces of the devil, I think we have the utter authority of heaven to be able to reach out and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be thou whole. We have that authority, not in ourselves, except that God, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There is something the Lord gives down to you and I. We don't have to be afraid of the devil ever. Ever. We can resist the devil and he'll flee from us because of the power and authority of God. We can draw nigh to God. Brother Theophilus, he also sent them to preach the gospel. He preached the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Preach the kingdom of God. In that day, the understanding and recognition, they understood the kingdoms. You know what kingdoms were in their day? It was a king was somebody with authority, with a place of people who had come and brought themselves and they lived under this authority. Sometimes that authority was exercised tyrannically and strongly, and some of it was exercised very lovingly and attentive and caring for the subjects. There's not a greater king than my Lord Jesus Christ. There's not one that has exercised his authority with more benevolence, with more giving of his very self. Jesus said, I give my life for the sheep. And this was taught, this type of benevolence of kingship. He said, teach the kingdom of God. I believe that there is a kingdom, has been a kingdom for many years that God himself has set up, and it came through his Son, Jesus Christ. It began back then and continues to grow and flow throughout all hearts have given themselves to the Lord. That kingship is alive and well and working in the hearts of mankind today. And we need to still continue to preach that. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves or scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. Some of the other manuscripts said that a little differently, but it meant there abide and don't depart until the time would so come. But also that would mean at the same time that you stay there until the time would come that you would need to go to another place. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. I recognize that Jesus told them to shake off. If you're not received, I will also recognize and would want to fix it in our mind, the character of our Lord is not ever, he's never been vindictive toward people. He's been caring and loving. Now there is a time of eternal judgment. There's a time that will come. But until then, his mercy endures. He's a loving God. He's interested in helping people. I think that the Lord Jesus more likely said, don't let that stop you. If they don't receive you, don't let that discourage you and cause you to just to be downhearted. Shake it off. Let it go. Go on. There's others around. Don't let that stop you in your spreading of the gospel. And it did say, shake off the dust against them. Part of the reason I want to say this to you, though, is because sometimes we can be all self-righteous in ourselves and say, well, they didn't receive what they had to say, so they deserve what they get. You know what? If you have that spirit about you, you probably don't have you won't have the spirit of Christ. Because that damages us. Let's not carry such a vindictive. Don't let the devil get that. Because the devil could say, well, Jesus said it, so I'm going to do it. Be careful. Well, you understand what Jesus said. If it's not in a line with the character of Jesus, realize it's not right. And it'll damage our spirit. You know, if we start having this spirit of get-evenness or vindictiveness, folks, that'll hurt us. That's not in the way of righteousness. That's not in the way. So when we find something like that in our life, you know what we should do? We should repent. We should turn. Turn from that and get back in the way. That's our job. That doesn't mean we have sinned unto a place of separation, but the Lord has exposed perhaps something whom He loves, He chastens. He exposes something in our life that needs now to be corrected. And because He loves us, He brings it to life, to light. And I recognize it. It's my turn now. It's my job now to say, amen, Lord, You're right. And I want to turn away from that and unto You. So now let's go on. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel, healing everywhere. What a wonderful thing that must have been. That must have stirred the community. That there were things happening, and I imagine the fame, the stories got to being told. I don't know how many times. There likely was a lot of things happened as the disciples went out doing this. What a wonderful thing that things that happened that stirred in people's minds. And let's go on here to the next verse. Then Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him. He was perplexed. Herod was perplexed because that it was said of some that John had risen from the dead, and of some that Elias also appeared, and others said that one of the old prophets has risen again. They knew something was going on. There was a lot of stir going on. Did you hear about that one over there? Well, this one had been sick for so many years and expected him to die, but the Lord, these disciples, and they said it was because of Jesus. They talked to us about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come near to you. That's what He does. This is my King, and I'm here as an ambassador of my King on authority of heaven, and I speak unto the devil. Get away from here. You've tormented this one too long. I wonder how many people like Legion, the disciples, may have contacted and drove the devils away. And people were free because the disciples had obeyed the Lord. I don't know how many stories were out there, but Herod heard him. He began to hear some of these things, and he said, what's going on here? He had beheaded John. Some thought that maybe John or Elias or one of the old prophets, and Herod said, John have I beheaded. But who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God. That again, here he speaks to them of the kingdom of God. I wonder what must have opened up to their understanding when he began to preach to them of the kingdom of God and healed them
that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send them away, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and countryside, country round about, and lodge, and get food, get victuals. For we are here in a desert place. And he said unto them, give ye them to eat. Wow.
I guess they had fired up the grill in the meantime. We didn't know about it. No, that's not what had happened. They hadn't brought a steak or two along. But yet Jesus said they don't need to go away. This was real food that they got. But another in a spiritual sense today, folks, the Lord would have us to recognize there's not anyone who needs to go away. There's not a soul that comes in the presence of God or in our presence here in this congregation that we need to say, we have no answer for you. Because I believe our Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And though it may go beyond my mental ability to comprehend and know what to do, I can have the privilege of coming to my Lord. Say, Lord, I don't have very much. I just got a few loaves and some fishes here, and it's not enough. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. I can't feed the need. But he says, give it to me. And perhaps here this morning you feel, we may be here as an individual today and feel so incapable. Oh Lord, I'm so timid. I don't say things right. My mind gets all scrambled when I try to get up and say something for you. I don't know what to do. And I feel so incapable. I want to tell you, all those things have been said by me before. And yet today, you've been witness many times of my inabilities. But I've been willing to give that to the Lord. I say, Lord, and I want to ask you and encourage you to give what you have to the Lord today. Give that to the Lord. But it's so little, Lord. I don't have anything. And the Lord knew that when he asked for it, didn't he? I remember when the Lord first called me to be a minister, and I have a problem not being, sometimes I stutter and stammer and have a broken, I don't do well. I understand that. And I gave that excuse to the Lord, kind of like Moses did. I'm a man of a stammering tongue. Yet the Lord called for Moses, didn't he? He called for him. And Moses gave himself to the Lord. It was a little struggle. He was human like you and I are too. The Lord did ask for help. He said, Lord, I don't feel very good about this. I feel very overwhelmed. And the Lord said, I'm going to send your brother with you too. But it also says at one point that the Lord wasn't happy with Moses being that timid, that unwilling, that excuse making. And I remember when the Lord called me to do something for him, I also felt I made excuses for actually a number of years, until finally the Lord confronted me very strongly one time and I knew it was the Lord. So I would just encourage us, everyone, to give of the meager mites that we might have. I would point you quickly to a place. Do you remember when Jesus was standing there at the temple and there were people coming and they were casting in of their plenty into the coffer? They gave, some of them likely, I don't know, perhaps some was very wealthy, and they perhaps were very, was happy for people to see what they were doing. They may have paraded up there and carried something very visibly, and you know, for people to see. But in the midst of all that Jesus was watching men do, offering something to the Lord, there came one little widow woman. She didn't even have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. She didn't even have that. She had 2 little mites. And I don't know how she went up there. I don't know, but she did it anyway. And the God of heaven, who knows the hearts of men, knew exactly what she was giving. And his son, Jesus Christ, saw that, and it's almost like he was watching everybody, and it was kind of a boring display of humanity that was a little disgusting, perhaps. But this one was different. She walked up, and he perked up. You could almost see his face light up, and he looked at his disciples. Did you see that? And perhaps all they saw was a poor widow woman with a couple little things that tinkled, just dropped in the bog. I don't know how it all. I don't know how they did it back then, but we know it wasn't hardly. It was just 2 mites. And Jesus said, she gave more than any of them. She gave her all. Can I encourage us today to do like that early church did and give her all? Not asking for your money, never will. But I ask for your soul. Ask you to give your all to the Lord. Because the Lord wants to take what we give Him. First what He will do in our individual lives will begin to build that kingdom of God in our hearts. Bring that righteousness and joy and peace that we're flowing up from within our hearts, that bubbling up, that and everlasting life, that flow that God Himself plants within our hearts. He wants that within us. And then as it flows and as it grows, the Lord will take some of your money, but He'll leave some for you too. But I'll tell you what He'll do. This isn't focused about money. This is focused about us giving ourselves into the Lord. He'll teach you how to love your fellow man. He'll teach you how to look at a man that perhaps yesterday or a few days ago may have been repugnant to your very spirit. And you look at him and say, today, because the Lord's been talking with your heart and feeding your soul and teaching you of His character, now you see Him as a soul that Christ gave His very life for. And you say, yes, Lord. I was one time ministering in a place in prison. Or not prison, it was a county jail. And sang a song to him about the price of a bottle. The price of a bottle is just a down payment. There's no way of knowing the cost, for money can't comfort the hearts that are broken nor buy back the souls that are lost. I talked to myself one night in my room, and I looked back on my wasted years a slave to the bottle that makes a man fall and sink to a life of regret. And as I sang those songs, that song to them, I saw so many of them. These were men in jail. Tears started flowing down their faces. Afterwards, one of them said, can you talk with me? And we walked over to the corner of the room, and he began to spill out things that he was in there for. Some of them was very bad. And my personality was such that I had always felt like if somebody was guilty of those crimes, they deserved severe punishment. I had to, at that moment, ask the Lord, Lord, help me to love this soul like You love him. It was my first prayer. My head hung when He told me those things, and I began to pray quietly alone. And the Lord came and flooded my soul. It didn't make what He did any better. But I looked at Him differently. I looked at him as a reclaimable, savable man. And God help us today. As we give ourselves to the Lord, let Him fashion us with the compassion of heaven, with the love of God, with the righteousness of His way. May I buy into His way. May I invest in Him. May I seek the way of holiness and allow His graces to clothe me. It's a grace, it's a way, it's a projection of who He is that I must be clothed with because my old self is ugly. But in Christ, we have the ability, through the grace of our dear Lord, to live for Him here in this life. Well, I didn't get nearly as far in this chapter as what I intended to, but I'm going to leave the rest with you and the Lord. But I want to challenge us to give our two mites, to give our loaves and fishes, to give the little that we might have, because Jesus again says to us, the people that He puts in our path, they need not go away. Give them to eat. Give them. Let's ask the Lord to help us to know how to do that. Do I want this room full? Absolutely. I don't want the next rooms full. I want to add on. But I'm not here for numbers. I'm here for souls. I don't want to just make people happy and just come here just because it's just an excited moment. I want them to be challenged in their soul. I want people to make heaven. And they need not go away. The Lord still has grace for people, has power and authority for people to overcome the devil in their lives. Still does. Let's tell them the gospel. Pray for me. Time's gotten away. I want to leave it with you and ask that the Lord will expand His truth to every one of us in our heart. May we follow and walk with Him.